Well, we're in a series entitled A Tax Collector's Take on the Good News. Remember, Matthew was a tax collector, and he found Jesus Christ, and his life was radically transformed. And this book that we're in, the book of Matthew, is really all about the story of Jesus. We've come to Matthew chapter 6, one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. And I've entitled this message, verses 19 through 24, Storing Treasures. I'd like you to follow with me on the side screens, if you would, as I read this passage out loud or in your Bibles. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. This is Jesus speaking now. Where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he would be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I want to unpack this by looking at three areas in this passage. First, I want to start with treasures on earth. And then secondly, storing up treasures in heaven. And then look at the theme of treasures and our hearts. Well, first, treasures on earth. The word store is used here, and I want you to think about that for a moment. What do you think about when you hear the word store? Well, it could be a noun, like I'm going to the store. It's a place where goods are kept. There are things that are stored there. Now, that's a verb, you know, in the store. So we call them stores because there's things stored there. It's a place to put things. Or you could use it as a verb. I want to store my things on the shelf or put it in a place. It could be where you're storing something for future use. Or it could be something that you're storing and you say, well, that really brings security. Or in other cases, it could be a false hope in storing up things. Or you may store things just in case. If there's a big earthquake that could be coming, and so you have a bunch of water and food in your pantry or in the basement or in your car. Or you may have this mentality, I want to store things because, quote unquote, I need to hold on to this, ... for a rainy day, for dust to collect on it, for whatever. If you're like me, I can do that sometimes. It's interesting that I'm talking on this subject because just this week, even before I was preparing this, my wife was just calling me. She has a little more energy lately. And so she's been even going, not just cleaning the house, but going out into the garage. I used to think that, or I used to know that when that was happening, that we may be expecting another child, right? It's that nesting thing, but I'm pretty sure that's not happening. But my point is that she calls me and says, well, what about this? Can I throw this away? Can I throw that away? And I'd be like, You know, I don't know, a lot of us men, we don't like to throw things away. I mean, not all of us, but some of us. We like to keep t-shirts that we've had for 15 or 20 years, right? And we keep them in our drawers, and we still wear them, you know, once or twice every 6 months. But you know what? We're using them, and we like them, and they bring back memories. So we store things. And we get into this mentality that, what? The more we have on this earth, the more satisfied we're going to become. Now, that's a lie, obviously. But a lot of times, if we store things, and we have excess things, even as my wife said this last week, you know what that means? And she's careful. She's real good at this, you know. That means you're living in the past. Oh, ouch. And you're living in the future. Because you can't wait to use that, as opposed to what? Living in the present. Well, a lot of us are like that. We live in the past or we live in the future, but we're not living in the present. Storing up things in heaven can be living in the future, but also in the present. We're going to unpack that in a moment. First, the word store is important to understand. Secondly, he says these things, when you store up treasures on earth, will be passing away. They're going to be destroyed, he says, like moth and rust, or here in the northwest with mold. You know, some of us are like the guy who, you know, we have bread in the refrigerator and it's 3 days before the date on the bread and we throw it away. Oh, that's too close to the date. And then the other people are well, it's still good 3 days past the date. I mean, if there's a little green on there, you just scrape it off. You know, it's no big deal. It won't hurt you. It's like penicillin, right? It's good for you. Well, guess what? Things are going to be destroyed or pass away or break down. Whether it's food or clothing. You know, I like to tell people, and I know it's not very nice, but if they come in a new car and they're too excited about it, I'll say, well, you know what? That's going to rust someday. Or that's going to burn up. Or that's not going to, you know. I mean, think about it. You know, the cars that we have, when we first drove them, we thought they were going to be like that for all the time. And all of a sudden, 5 years later, they start breaking down or they get dirty or whatever. He also says, Jesus says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth because thieves can break in and steal them. In other words, where's your hope? If your hope is in the thing, you're going to be let down every single time. Not only is it going to break down or, you know, gain dust and mold and all that, it could be stolen. It can be taken from you. And then what? Then you're disappointed because your hope was in a thing. He says, don't store up yourselves for yourself treasures on this earth. Now, that reminds me of a passage in 1 Timothy 6 that Paul wrote to Timothy, verse 17. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. He says, when we put our hope, and this is a good way to look at this, not only in our wealth, but in the things that money can buy. He says, that's arrogance. That's saying that basically, God, I don't need your help. I can do it by myself, thank you very much. I'm going to provide for myself. And then all the things that money can buy, I'm just going to hope in those things, and I really don't need you anymore, God. And God, by His own, you know, strength and love for us, says, okay, go ahead. You know, He's given us our own free will, free volition. But it leads to arrogance. It leads to selfishness or gratifying the flesh, doesn't it? It leads to a false sense of security. Because why? Because we're putting our hope in something that is not going to last. He says it's uncertain. It leads to uncertainty. It can lead to losing sleep through worrying about those things, can't it? You know, the more possessions we have, the more complicated our life becomes. The more possessions you have that can be stolen, the more you want to do what? Call a security alarm system. And once you have a security alarm system, then you have to remember the code. And if you have a code, then you have to shut it off when it goes off, when it's not supposed to go off. And then you got to worry about that going off if you're not home and the neighbors are there. And what are the neighbors going to think if the security alarm system's going off? Because why? Because you've got a bunch of stuff in the house and maybe it's a real alarm. You know what I'm saying? We get caught up in things, the treasures of this earth, and it leads to worry and lack of sleep and all the things that we necessarily don't want. It's a false sense of security, selfishness, arrogance. Look at this chart for a minute on the side screens here. I have three arrows. You know, we have the riches or treasures of this earth. If we're putting our hope in the riches and the treasures of this earth, it leads to what? It leads to worry and anxiety over things. Every single time, if our hope is in something or some relationship, it's going to lead towards worry and anxiety. And then what's the next arrow? Points to lack of security or lack of sleep. And it's a vicious circle. It continues to go around and around. The more we put our hope in the things of this world, in the treasures of this earth, the more we're going to have worry and anxiety and lack of sleep and lack of security and so forth. And it keeps going over and over again. What are you losing sleep over? What keeps you awake at night? You see, if it's anything other than God, then you're going to be let down every single time. Because when you lose sleep over something and you're worrying about that certain thing, it could even be your own health. I've met people who have so much peace because they put their hope in God in the midst of their cancer. And they die with a smile on their face. And they go to meet Him. You see, the worst thing that could happen to any of us, losing a child or dying of a disease, you know, even then, God can give us what? A perfect peace in the midst of our hope in Him. And He's saying, don't be tempted to try and store up treasures on this side of eternity. He says, your account is not here. It's not going to last. Anytime you put your hope in anything on this side of eternity, you're going to be let down every single time. It could be your own children. I really want my children to be healthy and get straight A's and do all. But you're over anxious and worrying about your own children. And you're not entrusting them to the Lord who loves them more than you do. And you stop and you say, Lord, I'm hoping in you. I'm trusting in you. No matter what happens, would you teach me through this? Would you show me where I'm not hoping in you? Would you show me where I'm trying to build treasure on earth? And would you transfer my, what? My thought process and my heart and my faith and my dependence on you to what? Storing up treasures in heaven. And that's the second point. How do we do that? Well, in verse 20, this is what Jesus said. He said, don't do this, the storing up treasures in heaven. But, in verse 20, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't store them in earth, I should say. But store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. He's saying, guess what? There's a place where you can store up treasures that are going to last forever. Forever. They're not going to be, you know, destroyed by mold and moth and rust and decay. Or they can't be stolen. They're going to be there for all time. And they're going to be credited to your account. That's what he's saying. Store up treasures in heaven. They're for future use. And they give us true security, is what he's saying here, folks. They're going to be everlasting, and like I said, they can't be taken away. Where are you storing up treasures? You see, God wants us to put our hope in Him. Look at the second part of this 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19 passage. He says, instead of putting your hope in the things of this world, he says, put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And then Paul tells Timothy, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So when we put our hope in God, what are we doing? We're saying no to worry, no to doubt, no to anxiety, no to false security and putting our hope in anything else. Because why? Because it says God richly provides for us the things that He wants to give us, the things that we really need. For what? For our enjoyment. You see, God is not a God who says, I'm going to make life rough on all of you because you're not listening to me, and therefore I'm just going to make it hard on you because you're not listening. No. God, when we put our hope in Him, He says what? He's going to provide things for our enjoyment. That doesn't mean life's going to be perfect, no. But He's going to give us a peace in the midst of the storm. He's going to give us His perspective to show us what? That when something difficult happens, He is still there. It's not the end of the world. And so when we put our hope in Him, what happens? We have a peace. We understand that it's not in riches, that He's our provider. And He says, well, how do you do that? Well, He says, do this. He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. He's saying, this is how you lay up treasures in heaven. How do you do good? Well, you get your mind off of bad. We become like the people we hang out with. And if you are hanging out with people who are far from Christ because of some insecurity or because, you know, they're people that you've been always with, then I want to encourage you. Hang around people who know Christ and who are in love with Jesus Christ, who are in love with God. Why? Because that love will start rubbing off on you. That doesn't mean you abandon these other folks. It just means that we become like the people we hang out with. The Bible tells us that. And the more we hang out with people who are good and who honor God, the more we're going to become like Him. And the more we honor God, the more He is honored and His glory is shining through our lives. And we start to live out what? The good that He wants us to live. And then what? We become rich in good deeds. We can't help but be generous. We can't help but share what we own and what we have. You see, God has a love for us that goes beyond anything that we can comprehend. And the more we tap into that love, the more we hold out our hands and our arms, if you will, to Him and say, Lord, empty myself of me and fill me up with who You are. What happens? He says, okay, I can do that. You see, every time we ask God to remove something from us, we need to ask Him to give us something back. You don't just say, God, remove this desire from my life and then expect something else to happen. No, you say, God, would You get this out of my life and when You fill it up with who You are and Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. You see, whatever you're asking for Him to remove from your life, you're asking Him also to do what? To replace it with something else. And He loves to answer our prayer when we're praying in His will, when we're praying according to what He's done in us and through us, when we're praying in the Spirit. And so in this passage, Paul's telling Timothy that you will lay up treasures in heaven when what? When you put your hope in God. You see, the more we hang out with God, the more we want to be with God. And the more we're with God, the more He says, okay, now I'm going to put my desires in your heart. You see, if you were to go, you know, that passage really looks good to me. I guess I'm going to start doing more good deeds. I want to encourage you. Don't do more good deeds thinking that you have the power to do it by yourself. What do I mean by that? Well, let me just describe it this way. You see, religious people say, I guess, you know, if only I do this, then God will give me this. And it's all about what I do versus who I am and whose I am. When we think that we can earn God's favor by doing something, like a little girl to her father, you know, by saying, wow, that was a really nice little trick, or whatever you did, you know, thank, you know, here's a piece of candy, you're amazing. That's not the way God works. God already loves us perfectly. We can't do anything else to earn His love. And so when we stop and we bask in His love for us, in His acceptance, as it says right in Psalm, I think it's 11:6, in His presence there's a fullness of joy. And at His right hand there's pleasures evermore. You see, in God's presence, He fills us up with Himself, with joy and pleasure that goes beyond anything that this world can offer. And see, when we fall in love with the God of the universe, He wants us to do what? To be like Him. And we start living in His love. We understand His love for us, and we can't help but what? Start to do good and love other people by doing good deeds and being generous and willing to share, all out of the overflow of that relationship. Not because the Bible tells us to and we're supposed to be religious. Again, if that's our attitude, I guess I'm supposed to do that. You're going to be able to do it for a little while, and then you're going to go like this. I guess. And how many of us have done that? You know, we try. And God's saying, will you stop trying and just fall in love with me? Will you stop trying and just spend time with me? And know that I love you perfectly? You see, what's so amazing is that God has a plan for us, but we won't understand it until we fall in love with Him. Until we bask in His love. Until we spend time alone with Him. I mean, it's Valentine's Day coming up, right? You know, think about this. Some of you had these relationships where you're just like, whew, you know, it's that look in each other's eyes and you're just melting and you just can't wait to be with that other person. You know, back when you were dating, hopefully you still have some of that spark, right, if you've been married for a while. But here's my point. When you have that type of love for one another, you want to be with one another. You may have it for your own children, your grandchildren. You look in their eyes and you just say, I'm so thankful for your little grandson or granddaughter or whoever. And you just there's just this deep love and you want to be together. That's what God has for you and I. He just loves to spend time with us. And the more we spend time with Him, the more He fills us up with who He is, and the more we what? Understand who we are, and we go out and we live the life that He wants us to live. It happens in that order, by the way. We gaze at His beauty. We understand how beautiful He is. You've heard me talk about when I go on a ski trip or something and I'll be on the run and looking out over the mountains, you know, and I just go, I am so lucky to be alive, to see the beauty of His creation. And the God who made the beauty of the mountains and the ocean and all that we see, He's even more beautiful than that. That's just His creation. We don't worship His creation. We worship the One who made it. And the more we fall in love with Him, the more the what? We start to store up treasures. Where? In heaven. You see, if we're not in love with Jesus and God, we're going to store up treasures on earth. Why? Because our security is on earth. We think we're in control and that we know better than God. But when we fall in love with Him, we want to do what? We want to live for Him. Some of us in this room this morning need to make a decision. Say, Lord, would you show me the things in my life that I've been looking to for security other than you? And when you start eradicating those from your schedule and your life, God's going to give you more time to spend time with Him. And the more time you spend time with our loving Heavenly Father, the more you're going to fall in love with Him and the more you're going to start storing up treasures in heaven. Why? Because it comes naturally. Because His love will flow through you like a conduit. See, that's all we are. He's the potter and we're the clay. He's making us into what? Vessels of His to be used for His purposes. We're the hands and feet of the body of Christ. And the more we live out who He made us to be, the more what? Pleasure He has and the more meaning and purpose we have on this side of eternity and the more treasures we store up in heaven. See, that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying that when we live like this, when we lay up treasures for ourselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, then we have what? We have a life that is truly life. We find this true life right now, and there's no going back. There's no going back when we understand the secret to understanding God's love for us, and then we start living in that love. There's no going back. When we first came to Christ, it was a big miracle because we realized that we're sinners in need of His grace. But when we understand God's love, so much so that you can't help but run to Him, like it says in Psalm 42, as a deer pants for water, so my soul longs for You, God. When can I go to meet with You, it says. When's the last time you asked God that question? When's the last time you were just longing deep in your heart to go meet with God? That's what He desires of us. Do you know that? He's just, I mean, think about it. You know, I've used this analogy before, but I come home from the office and my kids are there and they come running, you know, not all of them, a couple of them, you know. And what do they want? They want to give me a big hug. They long to be with their father. Last 5 minutes. But still, it's nice. When's the last time you ran and gave your Heavenly Father a great big hug? And you just said, God, I'm so glad that I get to be with You. I love You. I want to live my life for You. You've given me so much. Would You help me live in that love? See, God is a jealous God, and He loves to spend time with us. He's jealous for our time. He's jealous for our attention. He's jealous for all that we are because He made us and He loves us just as we are. And when we run to Him, He says, I've been waiting for you. I'm so glad you came. I'm so glad you're here. I just want to pour out my Spirit into your life and give you power and grace and mercy. I want to give it all to you. The only thing that's keeping us from that, folks, is ourselves. Choosing to go away from Him and trying to store up treasures on earth. You see, God says, I want you to lay up this foundation. A firm foundation. And then you'll have the life that is truly life. That's what I'm describing. It's how we were made to be. And then what happens? We give like God gives. Not just financially, that's only part of it. But we give of ourselves. We become servants. We give of our time. Imagine falling in love with people around us, the lowest of the lowest people around us, people that are going through difficulties. You know, imagine going somewhere in our society that people are not even respected in any way, shape, or form, and God called you to go and love those people. You know, for me, I see it in the jail when I go to the jail. These people are despised for the things they've done, and there rightly needs to be laws that they need to be punished and put away for a while. But that doesn't mean they can't find Jesus. They can. And God's given me a love for those people, those men that I go down and talk to about His love and His grace. Why? Because He's given me His love and His grace, and I can't help but tell people about Him. He wants us to do the same thing. Look at the circle that comes with getting it right now, storing up treasures in heaven. When we trust in... Did I jump ahead too far here? Or is that... Yeah, that's the one. Okay. You know, when our treasures are in heaven, the riches that we have, we store them up there, and it leads to peace and security in that life that is truly life. When we store up treasures in heaven, we have God's fruit of His Spirit, I should say. And we have a true life, and it goes on and on and on, and we get it right. We're hanging out with God, and we're storing up treasures in heaven. We're living a life of peace and security, and we can't help but go, I can't believe I get to do this as a follower of Christ. Now, I want to close this message with a third point. We've looked at treasures in heaven, and then treasures on earth and treasures in heaven. Let's look at treasures in the heart. Where do you store up your treasures? Is it on earth or in heaven? Well, the rich young ruler is a good example of where he was storing up things on earth again. Matthew 19:16-23. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There's only one who is good. If you want to enter this life, obey the commandments. Which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to His disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, this man wanted to earn salvation by doing. He's on that religious track again. God, what do I need to do to earn Your respect, to earn Your love? He was living in pride. All of us have lived in pride. But God says, I oppose the proud, but I give grace to the humble. See, he only kept these commandments outwardly. He didn't ever keep them internally. No one can. No one's perfect in that. His heart was on his earthly wealth, and Jesus knew that, and Jesus exposed where he was. But notice what Jesus said. He says, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. In other words, he's saying, use your resources to make a difference where there's a need, and then come and follow me. Now back to the passage in Matthew 6 that we're looking at. Jesus talks about the eyes, and really what he's talking about of our heart and our mind. It says verse 21, he says, For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If our treasure is in the things of this world, that's where, if our heart is in those things of this world, that's where our treasure is. I said it before, but if I were to look at your checkbook or your calendar, I could tell you where your treasure is. Or just ask you a few questions about where you are in your mind throughout the day. If our hope is in any of those things, our heart is on those things, and we're going to be led astray, we're going to be let down. In verse 22, then he says, The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. Really what he's saying is that our eye is like our heart and our mind here. When we're full of good, we're full of His light. But then he says, the second part in verse 23, but if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If we're concentrating on evil things, we're full of darkness. We're separated from God. And that darkness leads us away from Him. You know, I used to, before I knew Christ, I used to watch horror movies and stuff that there's no way I should put in my mind. And see, when we let those things creep into our world and read steamy romance novels and all the other things that are out there that we think, oh, what's wrong with that? Well, ask God what's wrong with it and He'll show you. The Bible's very clear that it says to not have any hint of sexual immorality. He says He wants us to be pure children of His, holy and dearly loved. He says, clothe yourself with humility. And see, as we understand what it means to be pure church, the church as a pure bride before a holy God, what happens? We say, okay, Lord, have your way with me. Show me anything in my life that's keeping me from my relationship with you. Show me any bad thing, anything that I'm letting darkness in. He says, okay, let me show you. But when we choose His way and we spend time with Him, we're going to be full of what? Good things, full of His light. Now, two other points on this. He says, right after that, no one can serve two masters. You see, this darkness represents the things of this world and storing up treasures in heaven or on earth, not on heaven. So he says, don't mix these two masters. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. He's saying, serving money and the things of this world will not mix with serving God and the things of heaven. You must pick one or the other. What are you choosing today? Freedom from the things of this world is what Paul talks about in Colossians 3. And I want to end with this passage this morning because I think it exemplifies what I've been trying to say throughout this whole message. Paul writes this in Colossians 3, 1 through 10. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and the image of its Creator. You see, he says, I want you to be free from the things of this world. And how do you do it? You set your hearts on things above, is how he starts it out. Set your hearts on things above. Don't treasure the things of this world. Treasure the things that are above. Become a kingdom builder. And then verse 2, he says, set your minds on things above. So hearts and minds, not on earthly things. How do you do that? Well, you realize your position, that you've died with Christ. That you said no to your former life. And you say yes to Christ. That you died with Him. See, it says He is our life. Jesus is our life. And we're hidden in His, we're hidden in, with Him, with Christ in God. So again, he says, put to death these things. You used to walk this way. But get rid of these things. He says, don't lie to each other. Here's how we lie to each other, by the way. We try and be on our best behavior, especially when we're in church. Heaven forbid if someone were to find out what we did this last week. What would they think of me? Oh no. But you know what Paul's saying? He's saying, do not lie to one another. Just admit it. We're all messed up. We all have issues. We all need help. And the more we're honest with one another about how weak we are, the more God gets the glory. And then pretty soon the walls start coming down and everyone realizes, oh, you're just like me. You yelled at your kids this week too, and you're mad at yourself for doing that. You know? You see, here's the secret, and this is what I want to just focus on for the next 2 minutes. He says, do not lie to each other since you've taken off your old self with its practices. You don't have your old self on anymore. He says, put on the new self. And here's how he says it. He says, which is being renewed. You know, we're all under construction. All of us. No one has arrived. Anyone here? Anyone arrived yet? If so, you'd be in heaven. No one's arrived. We're being renewed. How are we renewed? In the knowledge, in the image of its creator. In what? Our new self is being renewed when we focus on our love relationship with God, is what that's saying. When we understand, not just intellectually who God is, but deep down in our hearts, that He loves us perfectly for who we are. We're His child, His son or His daughter. And then we get a glimpse at who He is. Remember, God is love. We want to continue to gaze on Him. And what happens? We're able to say no to the anger and the lust and the sexual morality and all the things that tempt us. But here's the beauty about it. You have an alibi. Here's our alibi. Our alibi is we're hanging out with our Heavenly Father and we're falling in love with Him. And the more we're hanging out with our Heavenly Father and falling in love with Him, we're not going to be over there doing the crime of the sin that so easily entangles us. We have an alibi. And our alibi is the best alibi in the whole entire world. It's falling in love with a God who loves you. And the more you're with Him, the more you want to hang out with Him. And then guess what? You don't say yes to those things you used to say yes. You know, it's like I was saying earlier, I think it was to the last hour, you know, before you got so excited about, you know, Survivor or all these other things, you know. Was that last hour or this hour? I can't remember. Last hour? This hour? Anyway, doesn't matter. You know, you get so excited about the things of this world, but pretty soon they start going way down the list. Because why? Because you're hanging out with God. And as a result, you become like Him. And it's not hard to say no to the sin anymore. Why? Because you're saying yes to God. Amen? You're saying yes to Him. And so those sins that we used to struggle with, they're not even an issue anymore because you have an alibi. You're hanging out with the One who has freed you up. You're not even near the crime scene anymore. I want to ask you a few questions in closing. How have you been sleeping lately? In other words, where have you been putting your hope? What keeps you awake at night? Does it have anything to do with where you've been putting that hope? You see, when I'm awake at night, what God showed me to do is to pray. It's to take every thought captive to Christ. To say, Lord, what do you want to teach me? Is there something you want to tell me right now in the middle of the night? Or is there someone you want me to pray for? Are you waking me up? And I just say, Lord, I love you. And I'll fall right back asleep. Secondly, would you say that you've been storing more treasures on earth or in heaven? Have you ever asked yourself, where do you want to store your treasure? Because it's pretty clear where Jesus wants us to store it. And then last, what could you do differently in order to set your mind on things above, not on earthly things? What's keeping you from growing in the knowledge of the image of our Creator God? Maybe it's just as simple as saying, Lord, I want to spend time with You. I want to go to bed early tonight so I can get up in the morning and spend time with You. Would You help me do that? Let's pray. Father, there's a lot of things that we're talking about here this morning, and I pray that You'd pinpoint the truth that You want us to live by in our spirit right now. That You show us one thing that we could apply this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, so that we can grow in our knowledge of you as our Creator, as our God, that we may fall more and more in love with you. Remove the obstacles, remove the barriers, Father, that are keeping us from that love. Gazing upon your beauty and us understanding your love for us, no matter what we've done, you still love us perfectly. We just say thank you for that grace. And we pray these things all now in the powerful and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.